Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis, and you're listening to the Anderson Business Advisor Podcast. Today I have an expert. I love tax experts and good people. His name is Warren Dazio. Now, Warren, first off, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me, Toby.
Yeah, and Warren's down in the good state of Louisiana. Yeah, I have a brother who's down in your neck of the woods, and so I can always appreciate it. So I'm like happy to have you.
That's right. It's crawfish land and lots of other things. We have a good time here.
Yep, you got the Saints. I hope you're a Saints fan.
Absolutely, and an LSU Tigers fan. It's kind of hard not to be an LSU fan this year.
Oh, they put it on them. Oh, my God. Nobody could touch them. Anyway, so we're going to jump into tax because we love tax. Why don't you give a thumbnail sketch of what you do? And today we're really going to be focusing in on self-storage, I know, but just want to give a little bit of background on who exactly everybody's listening to.
Great. Well, yeah, I'm a executive vice president of CSSI, Cost Segregation Services Incorporated. We are a engineering-based consulting firm, and we focus on the tax law that surrounds a commercial building. And it's primarily the tangible property regs that came out in 2014, tax reform that came out in 2017. Kind of our bread and butter that we've done for the longest is cost segregation. And that is basically accelerating depreciation on a building to reduce your income taxes.
Yep. No, you guys do it all, which we appreciate. Like from a tax standpoint, I always love 179D. I love the tangible property reg simply because for those who aren't into this sort of things, there's certain types of expenses that you take and never have to worry about ever again. And then in real estate, there's quite often you're taking an expense like depreciation, where you have to worry about recapturing it at some point. And there's just some really tricky ways about how to be classified as one versus the other. So I'm sure we'll jump into that. And then the 179D is the tax credits. And tax credits is like dollars in your pocket. So I want to hit on all of those today. But I specifically want to dial into an area that seems to be a favorite for a lot of investors, which is the self-storage. And so is this something that you've been dealing with for a while or that you've been watching over the last few years?
I have. I attend all the national self-storage events in Vegas and in various parts of the world and get a lot of state ones. I've spoken at some of the national events. And self-storage is a great candidate for all the things that we do, whether that's TPRs or cost seg and sometimes 179D as well. Yeah.
Have you seen a big push on it? Because here's my thing. I always look at it as like tenants can be a pain in the katush, right? So like anybody who has tenants, whether it's commercial or residential, doesn't really matter. You're still dealing with somebody. And that seems to be gone when it comes to self-storage. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, people still deal with tenants, but there's so much now that's automated and there's so much now that they can do and not have to deal with those tenants. I'm definitely seeing self-storage is a massive, massive industry and massive segment. You know, I'd almost say it's kind of at the top of its game right now. You're seeing the cap rates very high and you know, you're seeing lots of the smaller guys kind of sell out to syndicates and REITs and things like that. So, I mean, it's kind of prime real estate right now. And from a cost seg standpoint, it's kind of through the roof, the benefit that we can bring from what we do to a self-storage vendor.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm seeing the same thing. So I follow my clients and I see what they're doing. I see the syndicators and I see what they're doing and they're all looking for these. There's not a lot out there. Like they're having to build or they're having to convert. So speaking of that, do you have a preference from a tax standpoint? Are you seeing one versus the other being more beneficial?
Yeah. Let me give you a couple of examples. We've got a client that owns 8 facilities that converted. So they're picking up a big box of a Walmart, Kmart, whatever. They're converting that into a climate-controlled self-storage facility. When they do that, they'll call us and say, hey, can you run the numbers for a cost seg? We'll do that for them. And you know, they're getting massive, massive deductions from a cost seg, accelerated depreciation, on that self-storage facility. And they're taking things like interior door partitions. You know, pretty much when you have a shell like that, a large majority of what you're going to put on the inside is going to be a 5 or 7 or 15 year asset that they can accelerate. So that's a great candidate. Another great candidate is kind of a build up from the ground up. You know, we're seeing that what you're running into is that they're, you know, you, some markets are saturated, the kind of smaller markets are not. So they're building ground up. I'm seeing is you'll see an owner go and do all the legwork and get all the permitting done. And as soon as they open their doors, some of the big guys are stepping in and saying, hey, we'll buy you at a premium now that you've done all the hard work, you know? And so anyway, a new purchase is a great for a cost seg. A conversion is a great for a cost seg. And a little bit less, you're going to get a higher return on a climate control versus a non-climate control as far as cost seg goes. And again, what they're doing is the 30-second version of cost seg is they're accelerating portions of the building that offsets their taxable income, and the end result is reduced taxes, and that flows from the entity to the individual's K-1s or individual's returns. So they see a reduction in income taxes by applying a cost seg to their self-storage facility or any kind of property they own, any kind of building.
Yeah, the easiest way, just a lot of my listeners, they know what cost segregation is. They've heard us chirping on it for years. But what it boils down to is if you have a commercial building, it's 39-year property. So if it's $1 million of actual improvement, you take the land out, but let's just say it's $1 million, you're dividing it by 39. That's the default. That's if you're doing straight line. If you make a change of accounting election and say, hey, I'm going to break it into components, then you're taking you use an engineer or a really good company like yours, and you break it into pieces. And usually about a third of it, or you know, somewhere around there, is going to be 5, 7, or 15 year property. And what that means is you can write it off quicker, or you just take under the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, they gave this 100% bonus depreciation. Boom. You can take about, again, $300,000 in year one and write it off. It's still, again, passive activity. So some people get to use it, some people don't. But what we know for sure is you're not going to be paying any tax on that income for a long time because you're going to be offset. Now, besides the cost seg, there's also tax credits, which are like cash, right? That are available in these?
Yes and no. 179D is I think what you're thinking, and that is a deduction as well. A research and development is a credit for credit as far as it goes. And there's another one called 45L that's associated with residential rentals, and that's a credit. So 45L R&D are credits, 179D is a deduction, and self-storage can qualify for 179D, absolutely.
Okay, so 179D, is that where you get is there a dollar amount that you're going to get per square foot or something?
Yeah, so it's anywhere from 30 to a dollar 80, excuse me, 30 cents to a dollar 80 per square foot. And the three areas that they focus on are the building envelope. So your roof, your walls, your windows, the insulation that you have, you know, what R rating you have, envelope. Then they have HVAC, and of course, that's going to be heat or air. You can do heat pumps. And tied into with that is a little bit of water. And envelope, HVAC, and then I'll draw on a blank. Envelope, HVAC, and lighting, LED lighting. Right. So those are the three areas. So in conception, if you did just an LED lighting project, you would get up to 60 cents per square foot. But if you had a new construction, and pretty much all new construction now qualifies, you're going to get a full $1.80 per square foot as a deduction. So how that equates, you get $100,000 deduction, multiply that times the 37% tax bracket, and you get a $37,000 reduction in your taxes.
Is that subject to recapture and everything else, just like the others?
I think 179D, I don't know the answer to that. There you go. Stump the chump. You got me, Toby.
No, hey, I'm wondering whether, I'm just looking at how it gets recaptured. If it's an expense, then it's either going to be an expense that you don't have to recapture, or like, so this is just a bonus. This isn't something that's offsetting the balance sheet item, right? Or is it?
It goes under other deductions on your tax return. So if it's a deduction, I would assume it is subject to recapture.
Yeah, possibly. Something that we can play with. Didn't mean to do that to you.
I don't like that because you give me homework, man. You make me go and learn the right answer, and that gives the listeners a reason to call me back. So
I know that the tangible property regs, you don't have to recapture. I know that bonus depreciation, you do. And so I'm just like, what are the other?
So the difference in that, too, is that the tangible property regs are in what's called a partial asset disposition. You're writing off something and expensing it outright
Yep.
with 179D and cost seg and bonus depreciation. So it stands to reason that it does. It is subject to recapture.
It would be subject to recapture. I'm thinking, yeah. And so when you're getting your, let's say you get a $180. So are you using that against the value of the property, or is this just an extra deduction that you're getting, almost like a bonus deduction?
Yes, you're using it against the basis of the property.
Then it would definitely be subject to recapture, I would just say. But I guess we'll play around with that one. What else is there that's out there in our toolbox that we can play with regards to self-storage? I mean, I know that there's probably a whole bunch of things that you can do when you're building these things up that if you do it right, since you're building it, or you're doing a modification, that you're able to get some major tax relief.
Yeah, you probably already covered the TPRs and all that's associated with that. And you might have covered a partial asset disposition. So for example, if you have a building in service and you decide, and it's in service as a self-storage facility or anything else, and you decide after a period of time, hey, I'm going to do a renovation, and you tear some parts out and put new parts in, then there's a benefit associated with that. You're throwing an asset away and putting it in the trash. So
explain that one out. Explain that one, because that's huge. And I want to hear you go through it.
So let's do doors or lights. We have had clients, we had so many clients call us that said, hey, we're doing LED lighting retrofits. Is there any kind of tax benefit from that? And it's a kind of a double whammy. So the first thing is partial asset disposition. Let's say you own the building for 10 years and you're tearing out the existing lights, which are typically a 39-year asset, throwing those in the trash. You had it for 10 years, the LEDs are a 39-year asset. You have 29 years of value that you can now write off, and you can write off the labor to remove it, the asset itself, and the disposal cost. So a pretty big number. At the same time, when you're doing that, you could potentially qualify for 179D. So in addition to writing off the basis, which is an expense write-off, not a deduction write-off, you're able to possibly get 60 cents per square foot on the 179D deduction. So you can kind of do two things, and that's part of what we do for our firms. Doors, for example, you got your doors. What you probably talked with Kevin Jerry on a prior one was, if you're replacing a third or less of the doors, you can expense it.
Yep.
Let's say you're doing all the doors, same process. Doors, exterior doors are a 39-year asset. Interior doors are a 5-year asset. If you're replacing the exterior doors and you've owned the building for 10 years, you've got 29 years of value you're throwing in the trash. So you can write that off. It adds up to real dollars, you know,
when if you break it down. Like, you have to break this stuff down, right?
Correct. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. If you go ahead and do what's called a partial asset disposition, we also call it a PAD. If you go do a PAD and then you don't capture that in the same tax year, go back and capture the benefit. So yep. If you've got clients that are doing renovations or improvements, ask those questions. Hey, is there a PAD available? Have you talked to your CPA about it? If your CPA is not aware of it, call a firm like ours and help you quantify that and put a dollar amount to the write-off you can gain from it.
You're hitting something on the head right there, by the way. Most CPAs, they're aware of some of this, but unless they deal with this day in and day out, chances are they're not. And then even if they are aware of it, they still have to engage a company like Warren's to actually do the numbers. Like, CPAs are not qualified to do this work, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, a CPA would be qualified to do an air conditioning unit, a single line or a roof. You know, when you're starting to pull out partitions and doors, and, you know, that's when you call us in. And I will never fault a CPA, because they've got to learn, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of aspects of tax law. You know, we focus on the tax law that surrounds a commercial building. And so our best partners are CPAs. They'll call us and say, hey, got a client who's doing some improvements. Can you capture qualified improvement property? Can you capture Section 179, which is a little different within 179D? Section 179 and bonus are kind of similar. 179D is the energy piece. So yeah, no, that's a great point. You know, we partner with CPAs. I'll always say they can do, you know, one or two assets, but when it gets down to tearing out big chunks, that's when they need to call a firm like that.
Yeah, and when you're doing a cost seg, so again, I wanted to focus in on self-storage, but even if you're doing a cost seg period, you need engineers. And if you're doing a brand new build, it's easier because you actually have the invoices from the contractor.
Right.
Yeah, so you can break it down much easier, but if you're buying something, you need an engineer to go through it. And the IRS is going to say, is it a qualified individual that did the report, right?
Absolutely. There are different types of cost segs that are out there. The gold standard is the engineering-based method. We call it the CERTAIN method. It's what the term the IRS uses. And it's going to capture both from an accounting standpoint, the dollars that are on your receipts, as well as a construction standpoint. And engineering firms marry that together. They also, you know, the IRS also uses terminology like you should use a third-party non-related firm to do it. You know, the CPA has some incentive to gain you more savings. And so the government says it's best to have a third-party firm do that.
Yep, absolutely. You want to have a quality. There is software floating around out there that people are starting to use. And I'm just like, the software is going to be very conservative. If you please, this is just a complete aside. There's a difference between price and value. And you want to actually look at the value. Don't buy things on price. Buy things on the value that you're receiving. A qualified individual is going to get you a much higher deduction. And as you're probably hearing, there's different types of deductions. There's deductions that you recapture. There's deductions that you don't. There's 179. There's bonus depreciation. There's just flat out expenses. And they're all different. You use a qualified professional so that you can make sure that you're not hurting yourself and that you're getting the maximum benefit. And again, it's about value. I'd much rather spend $5,000 to get $50,000 of benefit than spend $500 and get a $1,000. It's not even close.
Yeah, and to support that, what happens if you're audited? You know, a firm like ours, we've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 22,000 studies.
22,000 studies?
Yeah, we have been around almost 18 years. We've never triggered an audit, but we've had to step in and represent clients who were audited for other reasons in about a dozen cases, and all of them end with happy client and happy IRS. So keep that in mind. If you're using software, who's gonna help you represent it if you're ever audited?
Yep, that's exactly right. They always say that they'll represent, but they didn't do the report. So how do you represent something that doesn't exist? The computer shows up and starts trying to talk. That'd be a fun day. All right, so let's go back to the self-storage, just because that's where we started. Is there anything else that you're missing? Like, is there anything else that you want that somebody else should be looking at if they're going into this realm? Are there any other little tricks that you got up your sleeve that might be able to help them?
Tangible property regs help you expense more. Partial asset disposition writes off when you're doing a renovation. Cost seg helps you accelerate depreciation. If you're doing doors or LED retrofits, it's smart to do a partial asset disposition and then also maybe chase down 179D. I think we've covered most of them. You know, that's five or six items that we can kind of throw out there and say, these are important tax strategies that you guys need to be aware of.
Absolutely. All right. So then let's talk about the really important stuff. If somebody's doing one of these projects, how do they get a hold of you? I know that we're going to put a link up, but if they just want to reach out to you, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. My direct line is 225-241-9823, 225-241-9823, or you can follow the link that Toby's going to provide for you. And the best way, you can email me. My email is a little harder. It's DazioW@costsegserve.com.
So we'll put all that up so that they don't have to try to write it down. A lot of people listen to this on a podcast. Is there anything else that you want to throw in there? Here's a fun one. If you don't have anything else, I'm going to ask you a question that'll prompt it.
You can ask me a question, but you know, for me, a firm like mine, we want to coach a building owner to expense as much as they can on the front end, and we use the tangible property regs for that. Then when they can't expense anymore, then we're going to do cost seg and bonus or section 179. Then if they've made energy efficient improvements, we're going to chase down 179D and even research and development R&D credit. So that's kind of our mindset and our mantra. Our mantra is not to push a cost seg on someone. Our mantra is, have you expense as much as you can expense first? And then when you can't expense anymore, then will a cost seg or pad or bonus benefit you? And we do the same thing with a CPA. We get CPAs that are not quite as familiar with the tangible property regs, and we'll walk them through the same process. So we want to be a consultant for them, find all the right answers for them, and make the right fit. You know, and it's always a timing thing.
And what Warren's saying is just to make sure it's crystal clear. When you're doing tangible property regs and you're expensing things, that is no longer subject to recapture. So for property owners, that's the holy grail. I get to write it off and I never have to worry about having to recognize it as a depreciation recapture, is long-term capital gains, nothing. I wrote it off. When you go into the cost seg 179, 179D, you're talking about expenses that would be subject to some form of recapture, either as ordinary income or subject to depreciation recapture, which is capped at 25%.
Right. And the things you expense, you never see again. The things you have to capitalize that are subject to recapture go on your depreciation schedule and you carry it over time.
You know? Yep. So there's a big difference. Now I'm going to ask you like to ask this question, which is, if you could go back in time and you found yourself when you were 16, what kind of advice, financial advice, would you be giving it? What would you tell them to invest in?
If I was 16, what would I would have told them to invest in? Exactly what we've been talking about. I mean, I've seen self-storage owners just crush it. So warehousing self-storage owners, I was talking to a very good developer and building owner out of Dallas one time. And I said, you know, what's some of the best advice you can give? And he said, people always want me to build and go in with them on these big high-end office complexes. He said, when the economy starts going south, it's warehouses and self-storage facilities that are still killing it. He's diversified. He's got a couple of nice offices, but he's got quite a few mobile home parks and self-storage facilities and warehouses. And that's probably, as a young person, you know, you ask somebody who's 16, you know, once you get to the point where you can save up a little money, you're probably going to be able to afford a warehouse over a office building or anything like that as well. But, you know, so yeah, that, you know, think about your investments, the type of investment you're going to go in. And for a 16-year-old, start saving now and invest your money, put it to work. Don't burn through it like so many of us young people want to do.
And don't get a $300,000 English degree. Hey, that's fair enough. Hey, I really appreciate your time, Warner, and I'm just glad that you were able to come on.
Thank you, Toby, very much. And all you listeners out there, keep listening into Toby's podcast. He has good stuff, and hopefully you'll be hearing this on a Tax Tuesday at some point.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.